T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The pressure on Caitlin Clark, Perloff, it is mounting. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Listen, this is a phenomenal story. We're talking about the women's bracket as much as the men's bracket, Perloff. But to say that Caitlin Clark is not the singular college basketball player, male or female, who is facing the most pressure in this tournament would be oblivious. That means you're just not paying attention. I don't care about Zach Edey. I don't care about any of these guys on the men's side. Caitlin Clark is the number one star of March Madness, yeah. And she is facing the most pressure. She is the one who has to live up to whatever this billing is. Now, is it winning a national title? Obviously, that becomes, you know, like a movie script if she wins the title. However, you cannot deny that if you are going to put one person who says who needs to win the most, she is absolutely the person who needs to win the most.
Oh, no way. Yeah. South Carolina is the heavy, heavy favorite. They're undefeated. They have way more pressure than her.
They've already won. Dawn Staley has already won a national title.
But no one really expects Iowa to win this, do they? If they do, they're not watching.
Well, they're
Saturday. I know. I think they're number two in the odds. But I watched on Saturday when they played Nebraska, and they basically face-guarded Caitlin Clark, and she started at 0-for-9 in the first half from three. There's no way that that team is in the same realm as South Carolina. South Carolina is way better.
Okay, I'm talking about not just Caitlin. Listen, if it was just Caitlin and the Caitlinettes, and it was really just the one person show.
It is.
But they're not getting a one seed. You still have to win, and they're in the Big Ten, so it's not like they're coming from some weak conference here. They've always had trouble with Nebraska. They've had a little trouble with Ohio State. So there is talent in the Big Ten. And you don't get a one seed unless you legitimately have a chance to win the title. To say that they don't is kind of, it's actually a backhanded like compliment, if you will.
I don't think they have a chance. And I think South Carolina will blow them away if they get them again. I think it was amazing that they beat them last year. I understand this, but I don't think there's real pressure to win at all. Now, unless you're talking about pressure to show up and win a bunch of games, like define your terms here. Do you mean that she has to at least get to the Final Four and then she's fine, or she has to win it all? Because you can't possibly say there's pressure on her to win it all. Look at Iowa. They're just not as talented, and they're not as big as these other teams.
They got to the championship game last year. It's like this is no longer a classic. They're the David to the Goliaths here. They're a Goliath. She's Goliath. And they say nobody roots for Goliath. I don't think that's true. People are rooting for Caitlin Clark. But there's two things. Pressure to win, number one, and complete this sort of mission. Again, would it be a little storybook? Yes, but I don't want to change the expectations for Iowa just because South Carolina is having such a good year. They were having a great year last year. LSU was having a great year last year, and Iowa was right in the mix, right there in the final game, and did pull the upset on South Carolina. I also think, so there's team-wide, and there's definitely pressure on Caitlin Clark to win, and I think there's more pressure on her personally, like what's at stake. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about she has our national attention right now. And she is benefiting because of her hard work and how exciting she is and how captivating she's earned every moment of this. But she is like an NIL dream, right? She's got sponsorships from State Farm, from Gatorade, from Nike, from Buick, from a place called Hy-Vee that I've never heard of before, H&R Block, Tops. I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure that all these go away, but these brands want to be associated with a winner. And with someone like Caitlin, if she flames out, let's just say, heaven forbid, they go out in like the second round or something, then I think that the national attention moves away from her at a time when she's going into the WNBA, which, yes, the ratings are going up in the WNBA, but it's not nearly where, you know, women's college basketball is right now.
But she's already become the biggest star in probably the history of the sport without winning anything. So why, what's going to change?
I think that people will turn away. I think that if it's not, let's just say, not in the Final Four, if this really ends with like a just, you know, flat, and they somehow get upset, which I know it's a lot harder to pull upsets in the women's tournament than it is in the men's tournament. We don't see the, you know, crazy bracket busting on the women's side generally. But if she somehow ends with like a just a squeak here or something happens and they go out quickly, I think that people turn their attention away from her. And I think that it's going to be hard to get it back in the WNBA because they're just simply not the audience. The casuals, the, you know, the men, for example, like male sports fans, I just don't think they're inclined to watch the WNBA as much as they are to watch women's college hoops because of how much we love college sports. So I think her moment here could not be bigger.
Yeah, I think obviously a second round exit would be terrible.
Right.
But she built her superstar long before any tournaments. I mean, she was probably the biggest star in the sport as a sophomore, and they weren't winning anything because they're not that good. They're Iowa. When's the last time they made a Final Four before last year?
I think the last time they had a one seed, I thought, was like 92 or something.
Yeah,
like
it's been, they're not a powerhouse. I think she is a lot. You don't have to win it all to become a huge college superstar. I've been looking at some all-time lists. The person she beat on the all-time men's list, Pete Maravich, is considered a top five all-time college player, and they didn't even win anything.
Right.
And I was thinking about, do you have to win the title, like Christian Laettner, to get this? Probably. But Larry Bird made every SI cover, and he never won. He kept on losing to Magic Johnson. Not to go to white players to compare it to, but you don't have to win the title.
Steph Curry got a huge bump.
Yeah.
But he was different. It was like small school.
Michael Jordan entered his junior year as the biggest star in the sport and didn't win. And it didn't affect his legacy at all.
Jordan did win, though.
He was a role player on his freshman team, but nobody was disappointed. They were a little disappointed at the time, but it didn't affect his star power. He came in the league as the most marketable star of all time, even though they were kind of disappointing as a junior year. I don't think her marketing goes down at all if they lose because she's already built this incredible marketing empire without any championship.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying she's at a crossroads here where we're not exactly sure how many of the eyeballs are going to follow her to the WNBA. We think a lot. I think there'll be definitely more. I think the ratings will continue to go up for the W, and that's great. And, you know, they are still, they're in like what, their 25th year? It's not like that they're the sports league that's been around for 100 years. So they're still going and growing and all of that. And I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying we don't even know if the eyeballs are really going to translate from Iowa to the WNBA. So she can't afford to have this meek exit from this tournament. Winning it all is on one side. Okay, maybe that's going to be impossible and a valiant effort in the Final Four might be enough. But any kind of meek exit from this tournament, I think, would be devastating to her and to her star power. Because again, we are the attention span of this country, and especially with sports, feels like it's a blink of an eye. And if you don't capitalize on your opportunities, I think people end up tuning away from you, and they'll turn to the next thing. We'll go to Juju. We'll go to the next women's college star who now can hit from the logo.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she's going to be fine. I think she's such a big star that whatever happens in this tournament, she's still going to be a big star. We saw yesterday a docuseries featuring her and some other players is coming out in May. I'm telling you right now, if you're betting, do not bet on Iowa to beat South Carolina this year.
Well, South Carolina is, this might be one of the best teams we've seen.
I honestly think Iowa, if you take out, I really want to see this tournament, teams are going to be prepared for them this year. And if you take out Caitlin Clark, I want to see the rest of that team win. So I think people are going to watch the game that she's in and realize, oh, you know what? They're not as good a team as some of these other elite teams. And I don't think they're going to kill her for it. And she's built all this before, you know, she was so popular. They hadn't won anything coming into last year's tournament. And all the buzz was about her. Everybody wanted to see Caitlin Clark because of her style of play. And that's not going to change, win or lose. I think she's still going to be the biggest star in the sport no matter what happens.
Wow. I'd love to know what you guys think. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. They can't afford to fizzle here, especially her. I don't want to put more pressure on her because it's coming from all angles, but she is the number one. If we're going to rank the stars of the tournament, both men's and women's, and you put a top five or a top 10, she's one. You can say it's debatable. It's not. You think Zach Edey is the same kind of intrigue or eyeballs? Nobody cares.
Right. I think the women's tournament will suffer tremendously if she leaves, but I think she's fine.
See, I'm not so sure, again, because I think that you and I could sit here and we could have a serious conversation about whether her stardom is going to truly follow her to the WNBA. So if you don't have at least the launch point of your finishing your college career on a high, whatever that means, Final Four, national champion, runner-up, national champion, at least that, then it's like you're going off the diving board, and instead of doing this big fancy dive, you end up doing a belly flop.
I mean, I think the launch point happened long time ago. She's already in orbit, and I don't think she crashes. Maybe if she goes 1-for-12 and they lose in the second round, but first of all, I don't think that's going to happen. Second of all, I think it's way too late. The spaceship has left the station, and Caitlin Clark, she's going
Blue
to be
Origin,
so
her and Strahan,
and she's going to be the most popular WNBA player we've ever seen, because there's ever been hype for somebody to come in the WNBA like this. I don't think it matters what happens in this tournament. I think she's already there. Obviously, I think social media and go way back when Steph and LeBron were tweeting about her as a sophomore. I just think there's so much going on with Caitlin Clark that it hasn't been defined by tournament. They did not win the tournament last year, and she came back this year and like, oh my God, there's so much hype. So I think she's fine.
Yeah, but that national championship game helped. The Final Four definitely helped.
It definitely
that
helped.
That was huge, and like her and Angel.
That helped too.
It was a close game. All of it helped.
It wasn't. Actually, wasn't it a 20-point game?
Was it?
Regardless.
That game was not close. The South Carolina game, game they won was close.
Thank you.
And that, to me, that was, again, that was such an upset. I looked it up last night. That was an 11.5-point spread, South Carolina. And I don't think South Carolina is going to let that happen again. I think they've been circling this date and praying that Caitlin Clark gets to them in the finals. And I think there are a lot of teams like that. She's got this target on her back because of the size of her stardom. And I don't think it's going anywhere. Second round loss, I will stick with this. I think she's the sport's biggest star, and she's going to be next year. You don't tell me you're not going to be curious about WNBA next year. Not you, but general casual fans are still going to be curious about what she's going to be in pros. Can it translate? She's the all-time leading scorer in the sport, in both men's and women. I think that record is the thing, not necessarily the tournament success.
I think there's like two conversations, right? It's like her stardom, but I also think that it's not as easy as what Larry Bird did going from college basketball into the NBA. And I know the NBA wasn't what it was then that it is now, but I still think there is a little bit of a barrier of getting people who are college basketball fans to watch the WNBA. Yeah. You've always talked about you hate that it's in the summer, you know, whether it's because when the games are on or whatever it is. I think that if she fizzles again, I just don't think you have that big hype. I get it, to where you're going to have all the people who have been watching, who have been following, who are invested in her, are going to all of a sudden say, all right, I got to be catching every Indiana Fever game.
Yeah, I think she is going to be something the WNBA has never seen. One way or the other, it is. I'm not saying it's going to catch the NBA, but obviously. No. And you know what? And I say that, I'm not totally sure, because the NBA ratings are not doing great.
Well, WNBA games. To be fair, some of the college games have already passed the WNBA in terms of ratings.
I think she, all the hype. And, you know, I've said this before, too. I don't think it's just Caitlin Clark. I think America was ready for women's college basketball to take a step up, because Paige Beckers was getting a ton of hype.
That's true.
Before she got hurt. I think Caitlin and Paige have gotten more hype, just social media and everything. And I think to Steph and LeBron's credit, like, the men's game has really lifted them up too and appreciated them. So I think that we're going to see the people behind Caitlin are going to be bigger stars. I think Juju's going to be a huge star.
Yep.
So it's all good. I think Caitlin coming to WNBA is going to be it's going to be so interesting, and it's going to be a massive headline.
I was reading an article on Forbes. We're talking about Caitlin Clark and how much pressure is on her in this tournament. She's facing more pressure, you'll agree with me on that, than any player, men's or women's. You could say Purdue, because they lost last year to Fairleigh Dickinson. I don't think anyone actually cares if Purdue avenges that loss. I do not think Zach Edey and Purdue has not really grabbed on with the public. I don't think, in a way, not close to what Caitlin has done.
Yeah, there's definitely no player, but I do think South Carolina has some pressure.
Well, that's true, because they're undefeated, and there's always more on an undefeated season. Yeah. But again, I was reading an article in Forbes yesterday that Caitlin Clark is going to have more commercials than any other player in March Madness. You can't have all the commercials. This is like, you know, we talk about this with Justin Herbert. You can't be in the Subway commercial and then be this flop. Not that he's been a flop, but you, and then not live up to expectations. It's like, if you're going to get all the attention and all the commercials, there's just no other choice. Like, you have to deliver in this tournament if you want people to keep believing in you.
I think you need, if they get three wins, they're fine. That's plenty.
I don't think so.
So, oh my gosh.
Three wins. They're a one seed.
That's an Elite Eight appearance in that sense.
They get the first two games at home. Like, those should be givens.
Yeah, I mean, but watch the spreads as they get deep into the tournament. They're not going to be, you're going to have South Carolina favored by 14, and you're going to have Iowa favored by 7. Come on. If you watch that team, they're just not as big and fast as those SEC teams.
They made it to the title game last year.
I know, and it was crazy.
They were a 2 seed. How crazy was it, though?
I don't know.
I don't want to change the expectation.
They were a 6 or 7 seed that, like, were the little engine that could.
Then you guys bet on Iowa. Go ahead. throw down on that bet.
I'm telling you that she's got to deliver here. Am I off base?
No, I think that, to me, I think, one, we forget how unforgiving, you know, social media and the internet and basketball fans as a whole are.
Ask John Collins.
For people who actually, right, people who lose.
Got dunked on last night.
In big moments. And number two, I just don't think that there's ever been a star this big, Perloff, where you could say if they don't win a championship, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't. I'm trying to think of other stars.
Yeah, but as she's ascended to the top of the sport without winning a championship in a way we've never seen. So explain that.
Oh, she's in rare air. She's at new territory.
Well, yeah, because she's had individual success.
But, right, and that's what I think.
But we expect, when we talk about the greatest of all times, is what that's the era that Caitlin's been ascended to. We associate that with also winning championships. We say basketball's a team sport, but nobody treats it that way. Like, we got to be realistic.
Well, yeah, so, but I think there's a realistic, like Maya Moore, who, you know, name your UConn star. They had three All-Americans around them. Name a teammate of Caitlin Clark. An All-American around her.
There's not going to be that kind of nuance when you talk about casual fans who, a lot of them, are not watching Caitlin Clark regular season games. I think that's another thing, too. I think you're saying, well, everybody knows Iowa's not that good. I think they do, EJ. No, you cannot say, Perloff, that at one point, when it comes to the NCAA men's tournament, nobody's paying attention and nobody watched the regular season games, but that everybody knows that the Iowa Hawkeye depth chart. Like, there's, that's not the case at all. I think people know that she's a star. I think they know that she's the best player, but they see a number one next to their team name. They see a team that's been ranked in the top 4 or 5 all season. They say, all right, well, there's an expectation that they go really far in the tournament. They have the best player.
I think there is a knowledge that Iowa is not a traditional powerhouse. I do think, I understand what you're saying.
I'll give you, and I
agree with that, too. Yeah.
And also, it's Iowa, too. That translates to all Iowa programs. Iowa football is this little plucky, unusual team. I just think everyone, you don't think college basketball, you think UConn, you think Tennessee, you think now South Carolina. I think fans are savvy enough to know that. And the individual stuff ascends that. I mean, it's just a difference of opinion. Yeah. I think she's going to be fine if she loses. And I think she's going to lose. By the way, Maya Moore, I mean, for example, the UConn, Maya Moore, she played with Tina Charles, Renee Montgomery, we were on her team. I mean, I do think women's college basketball history, there's these super teams. Isn't that a sport that's always had all the talent kind of glommed up at the top?
Top heavy. And it's like that in the WNBA right now also.
Yeah. But at the same time, this is probably the era of women's college basketball that has the most parity. So if Caitlin Clark's going to play in an era where you have the most parity, we have the most teams that can compete for a national championship. LSU, we talk about how great they were last year. They were a 3 seed, and they won a national championship. So it's not like they were this undefeated team that was blowing everybody out and that they were unstoppable. Like, they were a 3 seed, and they won. So you're playing in the era with the most parity, and you never won a title, even though you were by far the best player. I'm not saying that it's fair, but right. I think it's, for me, it would be naive for me to think that she's not going to have some kind of blowback if they come up short, especially if they come up short in a Sweet 16. I think even in an Elite Eight situation.
855-212-4CBS. I like the line where you said it's a team sport, but it's not treated like that. Basketball, that is. And that's a men's side, women's side, NBA, college. Yeah, it's like, we expect if you have a great player, it's going to be 1-on-5.
And also the coach, too. Obviously, Kim Mulkey had won titles before LSU. I think that's a big factor. I mean, there's how many title-winning coaches are there in college basketball? Not a lot, because Geno sucked them all up.
And it's Pat Summitt before that, right? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in. The pressure on Caitlin Clark, and if they fizzle in this tournament, does that hurt her stardom? And whatever's next for her with the WNBA, are you going to be more likely to watch, less likely to watch? You kind of say, oh, that was a great story in college. I'm kind of done with that story now and not follow her stardom to the WNBA. Want to hear from you. Got a lot to do here today. I'm looking at this rundown. How are we going to get this all in? Is a question. Today we will do several things. You are still welcome to join our bracket challenge. This is our pal Nick in Texas, who runs our unofficial Facebook page, is running our official Maggie and Perloff bracket. Official air quotes. You can go to CBS Sports. It's called Pearl Jam, P-E-R-L, off of Perloff. Pearl Jam Season 3. Go sign up. Say you beat me and Perloff in a bracket challenge, because you probably will.
So CBS Sports Radio YouTube channel?
You can find the link there. You can find the link on our social handles. And the bracket is through CBSSports.com website. So you go there, search out Pearl Jam.
You could do it on the CBS Sports. Okay.
There you go. So we got that for you.
I think my kids are old enough now that they better deliver. 12 and 13.
No more.
Oh, that's cute. I am going to have bragging rights in my household at least this year. I might lose this bracket, but I'm not going to have my wife beat me for a third year in a row. That's not happening, Maggie.
I believe in Sarah. And then also today, the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket, we are doing one-hit wonders as our non-sports March Madness bracket. We will reveal the second region, the last call region, will come your way in just about an hour. We did the weddings region yesterday. It was a smash hit. Today, we do the last call region. So join us for that. 855-212-4CBS. Get the conversation going about Caitlin Clark and the pressure on her. Let us know what you think. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports.
All right, back on Maggie and Perloff. Big debate here. Does Caitlin Clark need to win big time in this NCAA tournament to keep her rising star rising? I say the fact that she's such an individual star, the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history, means so much more. And honestly, I'm telling you right now, Iowa is not winning this thing. And you could cut that right now. The entire field is geared up to single-handedly face guard Caitlin Clark all over the court. Someone's going to bring them down. South Carolina, gigantic favorite to win this tournament. If South Carolina gets Iowa, they have been thinking about nothing but vengeance for a year. So it's going to be South Carolina, but I don't think this is going to slow down Caitlin Clark's rise. Yeah. I think she's such a big star.
She is a big star, but I think she's got so much at stake here. If they fizzle out in this tournament, if they don't even get to the Final Four, if they don't get to the championship game after they got there last year, I just do not think that it just ends with such a whimper that I don't think a lot of people are going to follow her to the WNBA. They're going to leave it in college and just hey, it was a great story and I followed it in college. But, you know, you don't get the launch pad of, hey, if she, like you talked about Magic and Bird, right?
Yeah.
If they had met in the Elite Eight and, you know. And
But she had
met in the title game. It launched them into the NBA.
But she already got her title game. That was my analogy. Larry Bird had a smaller school that got to the title game, lost to Magic.
Right.
And that was enough stardom for him to be a, you know, he'd already been on three SI covers before he got to the pros. That was enough to make him a star. I'll bet you show bet that Caitlin Clark's first WNBA game is the highest rated WNBA game of all time.
I think it depends what happens in this tournament. I do. I think you got to keep, this is like, it's almost just like fame in America or fame in the world. You've got to, there's like a trajectory, and I'm not saying you're not going to have any sidetracks or anything, but you got to strike while the iron's hot. You got to keep it going.
But she became such a gigantic star with no success. I no tournament success. The year before they made the final game, they didn't do anything in the tournament, and she was already completely transcended. Mostly because her style of play, that she's sort of the Steph Curry of the sport. Now everybody's going to be like her and shoot from 40 feet away. So I think she's fine one way or the other.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. Derek is in Sacramento, has a thought on the pressure on Caitlin Clark is higher than any other singular basketball player, male or female, in this tournament, in my opinion. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, it's a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
You know, I'm right there with you guys. I think she's definitely under the most pressure. I feel like if it wasn't for Angel Reese and her going back and forth last year, she wouldn't have that energy coming into this season. So we're all looking forward to that.
Right.
But I think if she goes out in the Elite Eight, or not even making it to the Final Four, I'm right there with you. I think she's going to lose some luster going into the WNBA. I think that first game is going to be a super highly rated game, but I think it goes away after that. I really feel like there's such a huge separation of college fans to WNBA professional fans. And me being here in Sacramento, our women's team winning one of the first inaugural, our only championship out here, you know, it's tough. So, you know, it's going to be tough if she goes out early.
You know, Derek, and thank you for the phone call. And, you know, I think as opposed to if she really shows up in this tournament, and listen, she showed up at every turn, so I have no reason to doubt her. But if she really shows up in this tournament, I just think that the wave continues right into the draft and then into the WNBA season. She goes out in the third round, you know, she goes out in the Sweet 16 or something.
Well, I mean, they face LSU before they get to the Final Four. They
lose. She got a tough draw.
Yeah, if they lose that game, I completely disagree. I think her WNBA moment is going to be gigantic. So I'm so positive it'll be the biggest story the WNBA has ever had.
Let's go to Angie, is in Georgia. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. What's up?
Hey, I have two different thoughts on this. I'm a Purdue fan, and I've watched it happen with our star, you know, Zach Edey, in the men. There's no way there's not going to be blowback. Everybody, they rail on Purdue every year because we choke every year. I'm a faithful fan. Yes, I am.
Fair.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No one knows a bit more than you.
No one's arguing with you, Angie. We agree completely.
Yeah, that first point, check and check.
Yes. So there's no way she's not going to have any blowback if she doesn't do well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've got young kids at home. Like, one's a 13-year-old girl, one's a 17-year-old boy. And they talk about her all the time. All the time. I think when she goes into the WNBA, whether she makes it and they win this thing or not, it's going to be huge. It will definitely be huge because there are so many young people who know who she is and are following her and are watching her videos and watching her on YouTube, and she's huge.
Angie, I totally agree with you. The one thing I would also ask, because like we're all parents here, so I think we know, how short is your kid's attention span?
They both really like basketball.
Okay.
They're like me.
So maybe they'll stick around for it.
I'm
not discounting that. And I'm glad that your kids are loving basketball and that they're taking after you. And that's great. Thank you for the phone call. I just think that kids' attention spans, everyone's attention span is just really, really short right now. And if somehow Caitlin fails to at least get to the Final Four, is our attention span just going to turn to something else?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that. You know, last year's tournament was a big deal, but she'd already become sort of an Instagram star long before that. I think that's a really good point. By the way, the Purdue and Iowa are completely different. Purdue is taller than every team they will face. They have Zach Edey. They're gigantic. They're talented. It's a totally different situation. Iowa's front court is going to be way smaller if they get to the Final Four. I still think they have a little engine that could feel to them. Where Purdue, you know what? Yeah, but they're not the high recruits from these other schools. I think there's a little bit. They should, you know, why is Iowa a one seed? Where are they going to be when she's gone? They're going to go back to being a 10 seed. I view this team, they're not a powerhouse. Like, Purdue should be winning titles. And it's been how many years right now? They just have all this talent, this NBA talent. I mean, they've been number one seed. I just think they're very different teams. They're physically superior to their opponents, and they're probably going to blow it again.
Peter Schwartz is here doing updates for us this morning. By the way, you're welcome to call in on Caitlin Clark, 855-212-4CBS. Good morning, Peter.
And good morning, Maggie.
Pierre.
We are, that's right, we're still going back to that name, aren't we?
We will never leave that
name,
Peter.
Okay, all right, you know what? I'm buying into it.
Good.
I'll buy into it.
Bonjour.
Because I couldn't come up with anything better, and I had a couple of weeks to think about it.
Yep.
We're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We'll start with baseball. The Giants and free agent pitcher Blake Snell reportedly agreeing on a two-year, $62 million deal, so he's off the market. The reigning National League Cy Young Award winner has an opt-out after the first season. Now to the NBA, and let's start in San Francisco.
Hart searching, Payton on him. Brunson gets it back. Open three-pointer, pucks it in. Jalen Brunson, 26 points. And the Knicks back up by 9.
That was Mike Breen on MSG. The Knicks beat the Warriors 119-112, their fourth straight win. Jalen Brunson, 34 points. Miles McBride adding 29.
Now I'm beginning to get a little nervous about my Warriors prediction.
Why? The Knicks did that to you?
Well, they've lost three in a row, and that's not a lot in the NBA. I know this kind of stuff happens, but my Warriors prediction of the last dance. It took a hit when Steve Kerr signed that massive extension, and I still thought there could be a last dance vibe. I'm starting to...
Starting to get nervous now?
A little nervous.
Now.
Well, you know, we're running out of games.
can I offer you my Lakers?
No, I'm you want to switch up?
Yeah, remember my take post-All-Star game, Lakers are going to turn it on. What is going on with these teams? Come on, old guys.
I don't
step
know.
Up.
We should have never left the Sacramento Kings.
It's a young
Kings.
Man's league. I'm trying to tell y'all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of your Lakers.
Russell for three. Good again. D'Angelo Russell is up to 27 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 6 of 9 from 3.
That was John Ireland with the call on Lakers radio. Lakers over the Hawks, 136-105. D'Angelo Russell, 27 points. LeBron adding 25.
That was a passionate call right there. I mean, wow. Catch a fever. D'Angelo Russell, Lakers. What? That is the opposite of a hockey call. Why was he so laid back about that basket?
It's L.A.
Yeah, I guess a win over the Hawks is not a reason to celebrate
and
for the Lakers.
If I had to guess, John Ireland's got a few rings on his finger, so you know, he's probably been there, done that, and just relaxing and just enjoying the game last night. There you go. Kings over the Grizzlies, 121-111 in overtime. Malik Monk, 12 of his 28 points in OT, and Domantas Sabonis with his 50th straight double-double. He had 25 points and 18 rebounds. Celtics beat the Pistons, 119-94. Sixers over the Heat, 98-91. Now, let's do a dive into some NBA fashion. Kim Kardashian's Skims brand now partnering with six of the top college basketball players in the world to serve as models for their men's line ahead of the NCAA tournament.
My name is Jared McCain. I go to Duke University.
Robert Dillingham, Kentucky.
Paxson Wojcik, University of North Carolina.
Hunter Dickinson, Kansas.
Donovan Clinton, Connecticut.
Caleb Love, Arizona.
Everybody's
wearing Skims.
Everybody wants Skims.
Yeah, I thought that was a shapewear brand that helped women look thinner in their formal wear and other pieces of clothing, and now they're... Got Donovan Clingan. I didn't think that really matched with the brand. A 7-foot guy from Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, to be honest with you. No. This is above my pay grade. I know nothing about that.
Yeah, to be honest, that's not that much of a shock, Pierre.
No, not at all.
It was interesting. I think because these players, especially going back to high school, have such big followings on social media, I assume that is why like Skims was, hey, this would be a great... You know, these are great guys to get because they have, you know, some of them probably have millions of followers. I was the kid Paxson from North Carolina. I was surprised that he was in there. He doesn't even play for them, really. I was like, who is that guy? Because I saw them lined up. They were on the cover of Slam magazine. It was a pretty cool, you know, rollout. I was like, who's that guy? And then he was from North Carolina. I was like, I've never seen that guy on the court. And sure enough, he averages 8 minutes a game.
The Kardashians aren't stupid.
They saw how he looks and they're
he's a pretty guapo guy. So I just can't wait till, does Kim show up at Pittsburgh like for the first round? Is she going to be now celebrities?
She's got to show up to the Final Four. That'd be...
Well, Final Four is one thing, but we're going to need you in Omaha. You know, well, how about first and second round action? She in Dayton tonight? Let's really put our weight behind this.
I don't know if any Boise players are part of this Skims promo.
I was curious how much this has got to be bargain hunting for Skims. I mean, Skims has obviously got a big NBA deal, right? So and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but
he makes like $50 million. This has to be much cheaper.
I think a big NIL deals. I think a quarterbacks. These guys, I wonder how much you had to pay for that. Is this huge money for these players?
To EJ's point, it's like they probably all have the same social media following as Aaron Rodgers or whatever, or Caleb Williams. So you might as well get the cheaper guy.
Yeah, I think that this is a good idea. NIL is sort of cutting into that NBA money. If I was a brand, I would just do NIL every year. Pay a guy. What do you have to pay these kids? $30,000 for this ad?
Just a lot less than you have to pay CJ Stroud.
Yes, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, especially if he wins MVP next year, is going to be worth whatever. I kind of like it. And I'm into Skims for men.
Really? Have them?
No, I don't, but I love compression shorts. Yeah. And if they can become, I saw the value of the company has gone through the roof. If they could become the compression shorts and compression pants.
How are they going to beat out Nike and some of the the other people that are so far ahead?
Undercut the price? I don't know. Just that's what happens in the clothing industry. Lululemon came out of nowhere and just took over the men's side. Now every dude wears Lululemon pants. Would you have called that?
No, the amount of stockings that you guys are all wearing is really quite shocking to me. You have Dwayne Wade to thank. He's your patron saint of wearing tights.
We're jealous.
Yeah, we're getting ready for that getting ready for that WrestleMania situation. Yeah, I had to make a purchase.
I'm going to tell you what, guys. Be careful what you wish for. Why is this a PSA to all men out there who want to get into the shapewear game. I just want to tell you, be careful what you wish for. Because girdles and these kinds of things that women have been wearing in some form or fashion for all these years, I just want to let you know, it's not awesome when you're 8 hours in, all right? Throw a pair of high heels on that thing, then you're really going to understand what's going on with women. I'm just telling you, it can start to cut in at different points. It's going to get uncomfortable. They're your best friend in the morning. They're your worst enemy by the afternoon.
You know what? One thing I really want to copy is that one-legged thing they do in women's college basketball. Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't know where you buy those. That is awesome.
Yeah, so Angel Reese, thank you for that one.
How do you get a pair of one-legged ones?
It must be easy to do because the whole sport's like that.
Are those actual? Is it one sleeve or is it or is it an actual undergarment where you put one leg through that's mad short and the other one is down your ankle?
We need to find this out. We should know that.
Deep dive.
I feel like as professionals, we should know that.
I think it's got to be a sleeve. You're probably wearing shorts and then they're under your basketball shorts,
right?
And then a sleeve.
That's got to be the longest sleeve because a lot of the women players,
they're like 6'10".
Not all the players wear short shorts now. We've gone back in time with guys wearing John Stockton shorts. But the women in sport, they've always worn a little shorter shorts. So they're like, the sleeve is mad long. So
I just Googled it. You could buy plenty of one-legged sleeves. It's easy to buy.
Interesting.
But are they the ones that go all the way up your thigh?
Yeah. It's exactly that. Okay, and a lot of NBA players are doing it now, too, one leg.
I got it. Do you guys remember that Saturday Night Live used to have a skit called Three-Legged Jeans? At the end, it was not any dumber than acid wash. Yeah, we're in that territory.
Three-legged jeans.
I'm going to stick with a nice, comfortable sweatshirt and a pair of jeans.
Well,
I'm not going to get into that.
You know what, Pierre? No one's asking you.
But Skims, these Lululemon pants, it quickly, the men, what happened to Lululemon, they were compression shorts, and now they have these slacks that feel like sweatpants. The goal of every man in this country is to wear sweatpants every day.
Yeah, and that's diametrically opposite to what shapewear is.
Yeah, but
that's
think
not comfortable.
Those Lululemon pants are so comfortable. They're like sweatpants that look like formal pants. Yeah. I think that's where Skims is going. I'd invest. Can I invest? It's stock.
Congratulations, men. Another one. The most comfortable clothing possible.
We don't have to wear high heels, so I think we're a step ahead.
Aren't you all?
Let me finish with the NFL. Newly acquired Eagles quarterback Kenny Pickett met with the media yesterday, talked about how he now gets to play for the team he rooted for as a kid.
Pretty unbelievable, honestly. I've been coming to games at the Link since I was like 5 years old. I have great memories of my dad taking me here, my grandfather, all my family members coming out to the games, together and just having great memories. And the fact that, hopefully – I can help provide some great memories for some other families now coming up. It's pretty surreal and a full circle moment for me.
There you go, Kenny Pickett.
Kind of surprised he didn't drop a curse word in there if he's been going to the Link all his life.
Is this a positive, getting a hometown guy? I feel that is a sort of a net zero gain. The fact that he rooted for the Eagles growing up, that doesn't mean anything about whether he's going to be good for them, right?
If he ends up being good, it will be a fun story. If he actually plays, it's like, oh, hometown guy. We love a hometown guy.
If you're looking at the draft and say the Seahawks were looking at quarterback, just because Michael Penix played his last 2 years of college football, that is not a reason to take a guy. He's a hometown. In fact, I think it could be a detriment, if anything.
Well, look at Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Well, Kenny Pickett's from South Jersey, so that's...
No, but he played at Pitt, and they drafted him, and it was a disaster.
He played the same stadium.
I just think almost it's better to get a guy away from his hometown. It's the general way I think teams view it.
I think it's a lot more endearing when somebody, and I'm not saying they should do this, make your own decision, but when somebody is from a place and then goes to that place for college, where you get drafted, you get drafted. That's just kind of whatever team wants you. But to stay home for college, I think, is endearing to a lot of people.
And I think a lot of athletes have talked about the distractions that come with coming home, which is why a lot of them will avoid it. There are some players who say, I don't want to play for my hometown because I know what that means in terms of the amount of access people will want to me, the friends that I'm trying to get away from that now want everything to do with me. It definitely comes with distractions, and I've seen it firsthand as a Knicks fan, how many New Yorkers they try to bring back, how badly that went.
Joakim Noah.
Stephon Marbury.
I believe he said, I'm too lit for New York.
Yeah, I mean,
like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally like a list as long as, you know, the list of Jericho to figure out, you know, how many Knicks guys they brought back because they were from New York that didn't work out.
By the way, you know where he's from, right by where Mike Trout is from. So if the Phillies could get Mike Trout, then all bets are off.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A guy we desperately want to bring home. Kenny Pickett, nice backup. Give me Trout.
And there you go.
Peter Schwartz, thank you so much. He's going to be with us all morning long, so we're excited about that. Coming up, we see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Caitlin Clark, the amount of pressure that is on her in this tournament, more than anyone on the men's side or the women's side. We also check in with one of our absolutely favorite college football coaches. We'll do that next. Maggie.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Big discussion today about Caitlin Clark. If you were just ranking the players with the most pressure on them heading into the tournament, men's side or women's side, she'd be number one. And I think you could put the coaches in there too. I think she's the singular person. So she is the one person who really cannot afford an early exit here. You know, I'm sorry about Purdue. I don't know if everyone's really on top of this revenge about, you know, them losing to Fairleigh Dickinson last year as a one seed losing to a 16. I think Purdue is, unfortunately, as a caller, Angie called us earlier and said, the perennial chokers. I don't think people are expecting Purdue to have this big revenge. Caitlin Clark, on the other hand, Final Four minimum we're talking about, considering how much attention she gets and her star power.
Oh, wow. You think there's Purdue has the most pressure on the men's side by a mile. If they have an early exit, that's a huge disaster.
Nobody believes in Purdue to begin with, so what's the big deal about an early exit?
If they lost in the second round, that'd be bad.
But Matt Painter's not getting fired, and these aren't...
Ooh, I think that is the beginning of the end for Matt Painter, and that would be bad. If Purdue lost again early, yeeks. I mean, they were the second number one seed ever to lose.
Right.
If they lost in the first round, don't you think that would be a disaster?
Well, that one would be probably a big disaster. But again, Matt Painter wins so many regular season games to get to these one seeds. I don't think he gets fired.
Yeah, maybe not yet, but he's certainly got to go in the hot seat.
855-212-4CBS. Tony's in North Carolina. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in. So I'm a Gamecock. I went to school there. I played. I've been following the team forever. But as far as Caitlin Clark goes, listen, if you got a team that could just that get somebody to play straight up one-on-one with her and keep her down, the rest of that team can't do anything. And I think her legacy going into the WNBA, she's going to go in and she'll get drafted. She'll be on a team with Al Boston. She'll be on a decent team. And I think that it doesn't hurt her at all if she gets bumped in the second, third round.
All right. So you disagree with me, Tony. You agree with Perloff. Thank you for the phone call. Good luck to your Gamecocks.
Iowa's so bad that they box and want her at a major D1 level. That's crazy. That's like a seventh grade zone.
Okay, then how did they get to the championship game last year?
Well, because they're really good, but I think people were not quite ready for Caitlin. I think they had not coached up. Nobody expected. Listen, you guys might disagree, but nobody expected them to beat South Carolina. That was kind of wild.
One of the great coaches. So to say they weren't ready for Caitlin Clark, I think is
watch them play this year. If South Carolina gets a hold of Iowa, then they'll be ready.
Let's go to Danny's in Wisconsin. Hey, Danny, how you doing?
Hey, this is Danny. How are you doing?
We're doing good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to just say that I do feel that after watching Wisconsin and Purdue play this weekend, the Purdue's only going to go as far as the refs let Edie play.
Yep.
I mean, if you guys saw that game, and you saw the two egregious fouls. One where Zeke or where Edie ran over Crawl, and the other one where he ran over our point guard. I mean, it was just amazing. And then they called the fifth foul on Crawl. I just feel that they're only going to go as far as the refs let them play.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, Danny. It's and appreciate the call. How do you officiate a 7'5", 270-pound guy?
No, it's a huge deal. And also, he's just a little slow, so he does tend to draw some contact. Man, now that we talk about it, I'm dying to see what Purdue does. Because there are actually some experts who are picking them to win it all this year. I know, Maggie, you're way more skeptical.
Yeah, well, listen, Zach Edey in that game, looking at their last game against Michigan State, went to the free throw line 14 times. It's not like he's not getting calls, but it's a great point by the caller. How are the refs going to officiate him? Because he's just such a challenge.
Do you know off the top of your head how far you have Purdue going? Are you gonna pencil him in? It's scary. When you actually have to sit there at that line and look at Purdue getting to the Final Four, it's not easy.
I have them losing to Gonzaga. There you go. Okay, coming up. Oh, we check in on the San Francisco 49ers. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.